my own life has been shaped and kindled and cheered by holy people whose lives were completely at God's disposal. Will you be one of those holy people?
Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a subject that I've been studying, I guess, most of my life, a subject that is kind of scary for a lot of Christians, much more scary for a lot of non-Christians. It's the pathway to holiness. And I've been saying that holiness is not religiosity, it's not piousity, it's not separating ourselves from the world and shutting ourselves off. It is very practical. It is very down to earth. It says in 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 15th verse, "The one who called you is holy. Like him, be holy in all your behavior, because Scripture says, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, this is the reason why we ought to aim for holiness, because God calls us to holiness, and he also commands us to be holy. But it doesn't say, like him, be holy in your church pew. It doesn't say, like him, be holy when you're on your knees beside your bed praying. It says, be holy in all your behavior. Who of us can stand up to that standard? Well, the revelation of holiness, as we noted in our last talk, is simultaneous almost with the revelation of our own helplessness. Once we catch a glimpse of who God is, of his power, of his glory, of his utter sinlessness and purity, we will recognize then, perhaps for the first time, that we are, as Isaiah said, undone, that we are sinners, and that we can't possibly measure up, that there is no way that we could ever make ourselves worthy of heaven. People are often heard to say, "Well, I don't suppose I'll ever make it to heaven because I'm not good enough." Or, "Well, I hope I'll get to heaven. I've tried my best." And Christians who know their Bibles know that that isn't the way you get to heaven. There is no such thing as good people. Heaven was never meant for good people. Heaven is meant for sinners who are saved by grace. But if we really catch a glimpse of the holiness of God, we will know beyond any shadow of a doubt that there isn't any hope for us whatsoever apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. An old hymn says, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow wounded down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." What have we got to offer to God? Nothing except everything. My soul, my life, my all. God does not want my money until I have given him my all. There's a lot of confusion about these issues, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. He does not want anything until we have given him our hearts. He says, "My son, give me thine heart." Now I want to ask you, do you have a desire for holiness? Some of you are not really sure. Some of you desire it with all your hearts, but you're not really sure how to get it. Remember, You need to look first at God. We will never get holy by looking at ourselves. Study the Scriptures. Ask the Lord to make Himself real to you, a living, bright reality. And God will do that in one way or another. One of the ways in which I think He will do that is to introduce you to some holy people. And you will begin to see in them, in a practical way, in a visible way, what their faith means, what holiness means. A vision of God's holiness leads first to repentance and then to surrender. In other words, it leads to action. It doesn't lead to cloistering ourselves away from the world. Not necessarily. And there are a good many invalids who have been called to a life of suffering and a life of prayer in private. Thank God for them. But for most of us, God calls us to action. Prayer is action too, isn't it? Let's not forget that. But He calls us to live a holy life, whether it's in the kitchen, or the office, or the commuter traffic, or on the train, or the plane, in the schoolroom, in the factory. Do you want to be made holy? I think of Jesus' question to the man who had been sick for 38 years. He said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Sounds like a strange question to ask a man that's been sick for 38 years. But then there's a subtle cherishing of our helplessness sometimes that makes us reluctant to be helped. And I think there's that reluctance to be made holy because, with Augustine, we may not want God to do it just yet. Augustine confesses in his Confessions that he actually prayed, "Make me holy, but not yet." He said, "I was afraid to find my prayer heard too soon and to be cured of my trouble." Is there something of that in your own hesitation? I know there is of mine. I know that when I pray that the Lord will perfect His image in me, it's going to cost me something. When I pray for my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandchildren, that God will fulfill all His purpose in them at any cost. There's that hesitation, that trembling inside me that says, what is it going to cost? When I first went to Ecuador, I was taking Spanish lessons from a very wonderful teacher named Señorita Valareso. And Señorita Valareso had taught a good many missionaries Spanish. And she said to me one day when we were just having a casual conversation, she said, "You know, I think that missionaries are the most wonderful people in the world. But Elizabeth, I don't ever want to be like them." And I couldn't help laughing, but then at the same time I thought, that is a sad testimony. Maybe some of those missionaries were genuinely holy, and she hadn't met those. But then there might have been the ones that were obviously not very holy, and I'm sure I was one of those. Think of the ambition of the mother of James and John. She came to Jesus asking a special favor for her sons, that they should be allowed to sit one on each side of him when he came into his kingdom. She was ambitious for holiness. Señorita Valareso admired holiness. But the great question is, do you want to be holy? A woman came up to Jesus one day with some very high-sounding words that were sentimentality and probably nothing much more than that. She said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you." And Jesus brought that kind of sentimentality right down to earth with a thud. He said, "Blessed, rather, is he that hears the word of God and does it." This woman was, of course, debarred from the possibility of ever being the woman who would bear him or nurse him. And Jesus was letting her know that she was not debarred from the possibility of true holiness, which is obedience. Obedience is the highest form of worship. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God does not want my offerings of any sort if He doesn't have my obedience. I had a letter from one woman telling me some of the trials that God had taken her through in order to refine the gold. But she said, "Do we have to go for the gold? Sometimes I think I'd settle for the silver." But even the silver has to be refined. Amy Carmichael tells in one of her books how the old Indian silver refiner sits next to the silver until he can see his face in it. And when he is able to see his face in the silver, the melted silver, he knows then that it has been refined. And the Lord is our refiner, and he has to keep on with the process until he can see his face. Now, why should we be holy? Well, quite simply, because he is. And furthermore, it gives us hope. In 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope before him purifies himself as Christ is pure. I have a dear friend who grew up in a strong Christian home as I did, but she went her own way for quite a few years. But she said, "You know what it was that brought me back? It was this verse, 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself." And she said, "I realized that I wanted to see him face to face, and I would be scared to death to do so if I weren't pure." I think of all those whose lives have instructed mine, St. Augustine, Blaise Pascal, St. Francis, Brother Lawrence, and a long, long list of others. My own life has been shaped and kindled and cheered by holy people whose lives were completely at God's disposal. Will you be one of those holy people? Do you want to be? God will make you that.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.